You've been listening to The Herbal Highway. You can get Alaska Flower Essence. They have websites, Alaska Flower Essence Project and Desert Alchemy Flower Essence. And you've been listening to The Herbal Highway, and I will be back next week with more. So thank you for listening.
It's 2 o'clock. You're listening to KPFA, KPFB in Berkeley, or KFCF in Fresno. Stay tuned next for the Visionary Activist Show with your host, Caroline Casey.
Welcome, allies, to the Visionary Activist Show, and I'm your weaver of context, Caroline Casey. So in moments, we will have our crucial ally, Ed Rosenthal, on joining us, but let me weave a little bit of context, too. In Catherine Austin Fitz and my reuniting Magic and Money tour, our last finale was in Sebastopol, where we mentioned Ed, and so we gave him a rousing, saying, "We are not willing to let this part of our collective soul be kidnapped by the underworld," so strong woof. But to weave the context, really, between a culture of life and a culture of death, we have only to look really anywhere, but certainly the New Yorker magazine, Rick Hertzberg's piece, also says this. A war plan leaked last week to David Martin of CBS News calls for up to 800 cruise missile strikes during the first 2 days, twice as many as during the 40 days of the Gulf War. Martin quotes a Pentagon official as saying, quote, "There will not be a safe place in Baghdad. The plan is called Shock and Awe, and its goal is, quote, the psychological destruction of the enemy's will to fight." And it goes on, or perhaps that is merely the goal of the leak. But any campaign is likely to begin with bombs over Baghdad. Many people will die. And if Iraq's response to the bombing of its capital city is more like London's in 1940 or Hanoi's in 1966 than like Belgrade's in 1999, if its army's will is stiffened rather than broken, then no one can say how much suffering and death might follow. The other day, Secretary of State Colin Powell was reminded that his boss is in bed by 10 and sleeps like a baby. Powell reportedly replied, "I sleep like a baby, too. Every 2 hours I wake up screaming." Old joke, not funny. The president's serenity is more worrying than the general's anxiety is comforting, and the storm approaches, says Rick Hertzberg. So when I was reading about Ed Rosenthal's case in Saturday's San Francisco Chronicle, I was clipping it, of course. But every single part, even the mythic news, permeates the straight corporate news. So there was Ed Rosenthal's conviction on, we'll let him describe the case, too. Right under that, I was clipping it and going, no, we need that, too, because right under it was kids being poisoned, toxic load on everyone, don't use that blood, there's white plastic particles in it, and then Nelson Mandela's fierce outrage blessing. There was also a crucial part, too, in which Ashcroft saying more death, you know, reneges on a deal cut with somebody who said, "Okay, I'll cooperate if you give me life and not death," and did the deal with the prosecutors, and then afterward Ashcroft goes, "No, more death, more going against the prosecutors." So we know this is a toxic regime with little regard for life, exporting death. From classical Greek, we learn the etymology of the word obscene. A woman who was starring in Medea said, "Obscene means literally off stage. When Medea murders her children, it is obscene, meaning off stage." And we know also from stories in the Denver Post, Pentagon eyes mass graves, ready to shovel thousands of U.S. soldiers into mass graves if biological weapons are used. So it is a wild, roiling time, and it is all connected, this death frenzy. A friend also points out that in 1991, photos the American public were not allowed to see was of 100,000 people, 100,000 teenagers in the pretty much all teen Iraqi army who had already had broken ranks and were fleeing with, you know, looted bottles of nail polish for their girlfriends. 100,000 of them were killed. So we might say to Ed Rosenthal, you're not raising the misery suffering index enough, which is the gross national product currently. So welcome, Ed.
I'm happy to be here. happy to be here.
Yes, and so there's much bubbling and brewing, we want to dive into your case and also what we can do to support you. And certainly, I guess the reaction of the jurors that's coming out right now is they're all going, oh, my goodness, you know. And maybe our unifying theme is that about everything, the jurors say they were not given the necessary information upon which to base decisions. And we might say that's true for all of us in every matter.
Well, that might be true, but I think it was especially true for the jurors. And they were really upset once they got out of the juror box and found out the truth and how much truth they didn't get. You know, and when a witness appears before a jury, the person swears the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. But in this courtroom, it was some truths, half-truths, and lies. And the jury never found out that I was deputized by the city of Oakland as an officer of the city of Oakland to help the medical marijuana patients. And basically what I did was provided starter plants so that the patients could grow their own.
And
as you said, it just didn't contribute to the misery level.
Enough.
Yes.
That's right. No, you are alleviating misery. We must imprison all those who are not raising the gross national product of misery. So, deputized by the city of Oakland, and what about the city of Oakland rising up going, no, you cannot have our Ed?
The deputy city attorney did testify on my behalf at the hearings, but the judge said that her testimony, which was that I was an officer of the city of Oakland and that I should not be prosecuted, he said that that was irrelevant and the jury shouldn't hear it. And I think that really upset the jury.
Right. But also what's interesting is the jurors coming out now saying, oh, we didn't know what to do and we couldn't do jury nullification because they might be cruel to us and we didn't know what...
I don't think it was exactly like that.
Okay.
I think that these jurors were good citizens, and when the judge admonished them and told them not to look into other sources of information, they were trying to be good citizens and follow his orders. And given the instructions that they had and given the information that they had, I could see where they would come up with guilty. However, they just weren't given all the information. Once they had that information, they were really upset and felt that they were duped. These were really good people they were used in just the same way that I was used. It was a machinery of this bureaucracy that really doesn't care whether people live or die.
Right. And I think, again, you know, we do want to tie it to everything because, in a sense, what the opportunity is, as you're a great Sagittarian storytelling self also is that everything is related to everything, in fact. And even the turnaround, I think, is strong and interesting to note, which is that, for instance, for those people who had the great good fortune to miss Bush's State of the Union address, we will draw power from you, because it was like the height of black magic. And yet, even at the height of black magic, this kind of tyranny of smoothness, it wasn't going over. I just heard a snippet of Dan Rather afterwards. He was going, I don't know about that. You know, so in that sense also, too, right after the shuttle went down in The Guardian in England, right away they had an article going, White House was warned, 39-year employee of NASA wrote letter in August going, there's a cataclysm brewing, please help. Once again, like the 911 investigation, you know, they knew they didn't care about life. We didn't know we do care about life.
Well, you know, the country of Bhutan has a gross national happiness level that they determine every year. And I think that Bush has been inspired by that. And he's putting in a gross national despair level.
Yes.
Because, you know, unemployment levels are at their sharpest level. They've risen at their sharpest level in 20 years. I know that there's no economic recovery just driving on the freeways. Because there's no traffic.
Hmm.
The traffic has gone down by perhaps 20% over the last 2 years.
What, people are just brooding at home?
They don't have jobs. They don't have to go to work during rush hour. And we have an economic disaster. We have a $300 billion deficit looming in Congress, in the federal government, the $35 billion deficit looming in California. So you know the solution to that, right? Bomb Iraq.
Yes. Yes, war is the Viagra.
And bust some pot and bust some medical pot growers.
Exactly. Yeah. one of my great brain trust allies, Carolyn Raffensperger, is head of science and the Environmental Health Network. She was saying, what if we measured the gross national product by the number of bird nests in the environment, or the number of migratory bird hatchlings, or the number of people dying whose suffering was alleviated? What if we're really a call for redefining what wealth is and what a wealthy community is and what we choose to cultivate on every kind of level, plants and qualities?
I don't, you know, the government would like to put an economic basis on everything, but how do you put an economic value on freedom? What's freedom worth? Isn't freedom worth everything? You know, they say your health and your freedom, and everything else is gravy. And this government sees it the exact opposite. They don't value freedom. They just value economics.
Right. So in a sense, we really want to see the link and to call off all war, the war on some drugs, the war on plants, the war on healing, the war on dreams, the war on children, the war on the dying, the war on culture. It's really the war on life.
That's right. And, people like to think that we have to save the Earth. You know, the Earth is going to go on. It's going to go on long after humans. We have to save ourselves. And saving ourselves means living in harmony with our environment. And that's on many different levels. It's on the level of the organic part of the Earth, and it's on the level of with other human beings, and it's on the level of something that humans have developed, which is the level of freedom and justice. And the United States is I think that it's the rogue nation of the world now.
Yes.
It's the terrorist nation.
Yes.
Which country has the most weapons of mass destruction? Which country has reinvigorated the nuclear the nuclear arms race, and which country has violated all of the peace treaties that it had with the Soviet Union and now with Russia, and that's the United States. We are the outlaw nation.
Absolutely, and we want to withdraw our complicity from that. Yeah, Nelson Mandela, bless his 84-year-old heart, he's getting his Uranus return now. He's just beginning to get wild. But in the same section as your conviction, also too, Nelson Mandela said, because the U.S. decided to kill innocent people in Japan who are still suffering from that, who are they to now pretend that they are the policemen of the world? Mandela asked. If there's a country which has committed unspeakable atrocities, it is the United States of America. Former South African President Nelson Mandela assailed President Bush this week for pushing the United States to the brink of war with Iraq, calling him a president who has no foresight, who cannot think properly. And just one more paragraph, too. He says, it's a tragedy what is happening, what Bush is doing in Iraq. What I'm condemning is that one power with a president who has no foresight and who cannot think properly is now wanting to plunge the world into a Holocaust.
Yes. Yeah. And here we are in the belly of the monster. And not only does it want to go after what it sees as external threats, but we are in it. KPFA listeners, marijuana users, medical marijuana users, patients, we're all threats within the belly of the monster. And you know what? We're going to eat out through that belly, and we're going to knock that monster out. Let me tell you, can I tell you a little bit about this case?
Please.
This really is it's not a case about the technicalities of Estoppel or 885D. This is really a case of whether medical marijuana patients are going to be able to get their medicine. And what the Bush administration has in mind is to destroy the medical marijuana institutions that have been built up in California over the last 6 years. If it's up to them, their just say no zero tolerance policy would come into medical marijuana so that there would be no medical marijuana. And they're trying to intimidate city and state officials. You know, in the New York Times, in the Chronicle today, Myers of the DEA was quoted as saying something like, if San Francisco tries to actually implement Prop S, we're going to arrest the city officials. So whether or not the city officials like it, they are being drawn into it. And before you know it, we're going to see the city and state line up in this case and other medical cases against the federal government.
Right. And go Terrence Allen, right?
He's an incredibly strong person who dedicated, really, this There's so much to say about him. I'm almost tongue-tied.
Yeah.
He has done so much to advance medical marijuana in California. Incredible guy. He was the only district attorney to endorse 215.
Right. I remember meeting him at the Normal Conference 2 years ago in Washington, D.C., and it was a very interesting conference, as they are, because it was so broad-based. And in the special room, I mean, what was interesting also, too, was I was thinking, I wonder if I've got the right floor for the party. The elevator opens, you go, this is the right floor. And I saw security guards, and I was like, uh-oh. But the hotel, the Washington Convention Center, had just sent the security guards to put plastic bags over the smoke detectors so that, for our benefit. But in the room were Republicans running for sheriff in Detroit, good old boys from Arkansas who say, yeah, I score for my whole bar, and they give money to legalize it, but they just don't want their names used. And I thought, you know, either in this country, either everyone's smoking or no one minds. I mean, that is the true democratic fact, I think.
Since I've been arrested, I have had incredible support from this community. People that I wouldn't believe it. I go into a restaurant and people come up to me. It's not me. It's really the issue. And what this issue is about is whether people have the right to treat themselves medically. You know, the next step would be to take the herbal highway and make each of those herbs regulated.
Right.
Marijuana should not even be regulated. It's not a drug. You know, they always talk about marijuana as a drug. No, what drugs are is something that is made by humans. It's an artifact of human intervention, either with nature or as a synthetic. But marijuana is an herb, and it should be treated as an herb. It is one of the, you know, Judge Young of the DEA said that it's one of the safest medicines used by mankind. So what we have to do is look at this in a different way, and not just in the technical way, but in the way as just as environmentalism, just as our freedom and all many of the other causes are espoused by KPFA and KPFA listeners, and they have concern about this. This is part of the human rights issues. And the reason why marijuana is so important, especially marijuana but also other drugs, is this, that the government uses drugs as a way of limiting the Constitution. First, they limit some clause of the Bill of Rights because of the drug exception to the Constitution. You know about the drug exception to the Constitution, Carolyn?
Pretend I don't.
Okay, well, it would be unconstitutional for the police to do this, such as do this particular search. But because drugs are involved, we'll have to make an exception to the Constitution, and that's a drug exception to the Constitution. You can put it onto any clause of the Bill of Rights, and that's exactly what the Supreme Court has been doing. We have to help to put an end to this. It's really amazing that politicians who have, the politicians rarely win by 56%, or in this area 70% or 80%, the way the initiative won. And yet, except for a few, most are really afraid to come out and endorse this. But I will tell you something that I just heard today. Don Parada is putting in legislation into the state legislature that would protect the marijuana patients and caregivers in California and fight against these federal laws. So they're beginning to come around.
Right, and Che Guevara tells us, you Americans are fortunate you live in the heart of the beast, really, again, what you were saying. Because I've just been on this Reuniting Magic and Money tour with Catherine Austin Fitz, who's been serious fun, and she's also doing a workshop tonight in Sebastopol solo on her own. I think she can do it without me, from 4 to 10, magicandmoney.com is how you can find out about that. But one of her teachings, and she calls herself a recovering Republican, is what she calls neighborhood beatdown, which is the war on drugs and HUD fraud are completely intimately locked, which is that you suppress a neighborhood by dumping crack cocaine into it, which she's got all the documents, and then you make money on the prisons, same guys, Dine Gore, Lockheed, and then you inhale the real estate. So it is. It's part of a whole thing. Anything will lead us to everywhere. If we go with heart into it right now, and it's withdrawing our complicity from this death, pro-death machine.
Yes. Well, a little bit about my case.
Yes.
What we're doing is, of course, we're appealing the case, and we have various motions in. But what we think is going to happen is that this is going to blow up, because it's not just about it's not just about cultivation of marijuana. This it has now come to what should a jury get be fully informed?
Right.
It's come to that. It's come to should the government be allowed to interfere in the state's rights, which is states traditionally have control over matters of health, and the federal government is trying to interfere in that. So this is going to become a much bigger case, and I think that this case is going to help move the marijuana issue along. I never expected this to happen. The kind of publicity that's been going on in the New York Times and other national...
Because they did an op-ed piece, right, well, on you.
Well, they also did a profile of me, and they're continuing to watch this story. There's been a number of stories, and also the Chronicle, the Examiner, and but, you know, I know it's been a little bit of a hardship for my family and for myself, but I really don't look at it that way. I look at it as an opportunity to change these laws.
Now,
yes, I'm sorry.
So, no, that's right. Sorry. Yeah, and because what you're also saying is what we want everywhere is transparency, vision, you know, democracy.
That's right. And this is a first step towards it. You know, we have to work on many different fronts, because the government is attacking on many different fronts. But I'll tell you what, we're going to push them back on this one. And let me thank specifically Green Aid. Now, Green Aid is an organization that was formed by a number of Bay Area activists, such as Jeff Jones, Virginia Reznor, and also Don Wershafter from Ohio Hempery, Dr. Mike Alkaly, who has dedicated his life to help healing people. And what the organization has been doing has been funding tipping point cases in order to change the medical marijuana laws. And my case was the very first case that they chose. Little did they realize what they were getting into, I think, or maybe they did. But anyway, I hope I've lived up to their expectations regarding this, and I'm trying as much as possible to move the discussion to the left. And
inviting the right.
Yes, come on.
Come on in, everybody.
Come on in.
I mean, there were just tons of Republicans smoking up, and also just, you know.
When I say moving it to the left, yeah. I mean, a few years ago, the government said, we're not going to discuss this issue. This is not even on the map. And now it's on the map. It's getting, now people are openly discussing it. We have editorials about it. It's front page news. And that's what I mean, moving it to the left. Now, Green Aid needs your help.
Okay, let's put out their website, which is green-aid.com.
Right, and you can get all the updates on this trial through that site, and also updates on the WAM trial, which is Women's Alliance for Medical Marijuana in Santa Cruz, and also the Lynn and Judy Osborne case stemming out of the West Hollywood bust, where the city of Santa Monica was actually funding the mortgage, and the club was busted, and the growers were arrested. So Green Aid is doing some wonderful work, and they have daily updates, as I said, on the trials, and they're also helping with the funding of this case. And it's a 501c3 organization, so all those extremely rich KPFA listeners who want to send us thousands of dollars can take a tax deduction on it.
Maybe so. That's good.
The tax deduction on the 20 isn't so much.
Right. That's right. Yeah. I think it's also that there's so much that is crucial. Again, green-aid.com, because innumerable people, when they heard that you were coming on the show, was like, how can we give Ed money? So
this is it. And,
yeah.
And they're doing a wonderful job. I have an incredible team of attorneys. Robert I. from Topeka, Kansas. Bill Simpich, who did the Daryl Chaney, Judy Barry case against the police, and A number of other Bay Area attorneys, Ephraim Argolin, one of the top constitutional attorneys in the United States, Joe Elford, who works with Ephraim. And any time that we've needed any kind of help from the community's been there. That's the kind of I didn't believe there was so much passion behind this issue. I walk into a restaurant. I was in a restaurant the other day, and an anonymous patron said, I'll pay the bill.
Yes, excellent.
It's beyond belief. The love, Carolyn, the love that I've been receiving throughout the community is palpable. We could cut it. We could can it. We could slice
it. We could smoke
it's
it.
It's so thick.
Right, okay.
That's right.
Hey, we'll put that in our pipe and smoke it. A phrase we often like to use here, Railway, is we are grateful to tyranny for constellating community. I mean, that's certainly what happened also to Pacifica when it was against the forces of humorless greed and the forces of humorless greed that have, you know, all the net of creation in thrall. But we're going to change that. Also, what you said, too, I think a crucial thing is that in South Africa, the traditional Sangomas, who are ardent medical marijuana devotees, but they have a word called muti, and muti means power and medicine, same word. The true power is that which heals. And it's very different from... I was at an audience where Dr. Masaru Emoto, interesting Japanese scientist, has been photographing the beauty of water frozen. Anyway, he came to Washington. He was introduced by saying, thank you for coming to this place of power. And he said, no, I don't think this is a place of power. This is a place of force. That power and force are different. So power is really, the plants give us power. What we're devoted to gives us power. The intrinsic community gives us power, real power, because we invite it in. So, yes. So your strategy is also, too. I mean, you said that the judge, Judge Breyer, bless his heart, may his spiritual supervisor be speaking to him, on an hourly basis, and we will be speaking to Charles Breyer's spiritual supervisor going, really, because one of the crucial things, I think, this tipping point idea, again, I was talking to Carolyn Raffensperger, she said she went to Denver the other day to address the EPA, and she said she had to walk past the photos of Bush, with the eyes that follow you down the hall, and security and everything. And she and one of the doctors from her staff were addressing, poisons and children and all kinds of, And she mentioned to the EPA officials, she said, well, your president, and she said there was some snickering, and she said, our president, and then she said, I can't do it. She said, well, none of these guys like this guy. And in fact, EPA headquarters had sent out someone to specifically refute, no, poisoning children is fine. And in the middle of his speech, he broke down and said, I can't go on. I can't do the job the government is making me do because it's against the interests of my soul. And I believe everything you said. And so this tipping point, this idea where people's conscience do, like your jurors, go, no, I can't do this.
And, the tipping point is not evolutionary. It's not gradual. It's revolutionary. The tipping point occurred, we all saw it in 1989. There was this empire that had existed for 70 years, just like Babylonia had existed for 70 years. And then it just imploded. One day the Berlin Wall was up, and the next day the empire was gone. And that's how these marijuana laws are going to go.
Exactly.
And my prediction is this. In 2005, people will be smoking legal marijuana in the United States. When these laws go, they're going to go extremely quickly. And this is the beginning of the tipping point. They chose the wrong defendant. They chose the wrong case. They thought I was a butterfly. They've got a hornet instead.
Woof. Yes, no, everything is so much crucial in what you say. It's also like you're the Percy Schmeiser. He's the wonderful. He said those same words, that Monsanto took on and sued him for because their pollen drifted into his crops, contaminating it, and they won. And he said they picked the wrong guy. They thought it was a humble little meek guy, but I'm woofy. And this idea also of suddenly and a tipping point, because as we know, if we're intuitively connected to that which is beneath the horizon, nothing is sudden, of course.
That's right.
It suddenly crosses over the horizon, and suddenly, but of course, what we all know from the internet and what we all know from, our own psyches and the community is that things brewing, and then suddenly, quote unquote, it becomes visible.
That's right. It reaches a critical mass, And that's when you see those spores come up and the mushrooms reproduce.
May it be so. And our guest today is Ed Rosenthal. We are Plant and Mushroom Fest brewing soon. You can join us after break by calling 510-848-4425 for a copy of this show. You can go to visionaryactivism.com, and we'll be right back.